Meanwhile, fishermen in the besieged Gaza Strip experienced their toughest year on record in 2014. According to a Palestinian Union official, fishermen faced attacks before, during, and after Israel's summer offensive. Periodic tightening of restrictions on their livelihood has also cost them millions of dollars. The fishing sector in Gaza lost an estimated $9 million during Tel Aviv's 50-day summer war because Israeli forces prevented fishermen from working. This comes in addition to the massive destruction of property they suffered during the onslaught. Well, to discuss that further, we're now joined by Mr. Stephen Lendman, who is an author and radio host, and he's joining us live now via Skype from Chicago. Mr. Lendman, I would imagine, and at least it seems on paper, that the mission here is to almost starve the Gazans.
Oh, absolutely. 1.8 million Gazans collectively punished by Israel. Attacking fishermen is something that I've addressed a number of times in articles that I've written. But following the end of hostilities, the end of Operation Protective Edge, just like in 2012 at the end of Operation Pillar of Cloud, Israel agreed to certain things. And one of them was to permit fishing last August, permit fishing to be extended from, I believe, 3 to 6 nautical miles, and by the end of the year, to 12 nautical miles. And straight away, right after the agreement, right after the terms were reached, Israel violated every single thing it agreed to, including allowing fishermen to fish, not threatening anybody, to fish, to earn a living, to provide fish for the people of Gaza. This is the way Israel operates. It says one thing, it does something entirely different. I don't know where this thing ends, but something has to be done to stop this.
So then how exactly does this benefit Israel? Because as you said, Mr. Lendman, it says one thing, it does another, because it says, obviously, it wants peace. How do you get to peace if you're starving a people?
To me, there's only one way to stop Israel, and it's not by going to the International Criminal Court that is essentially an imperial tool supporting the perpetrators, not their victims. So if Abbas goes to the ICC, he'll get nowhere at the ICC, just like going to the Security Council assured getting nowhere. America didn't officially use its veto power in the Security Council, but I wrote an article saying America used its veto power because it got other countries to either abstain, it got Australia to vote against the Palestinian statehood. So to me, that's an American veto. You can call it anything you want. To me, it's a veto. The only way to stop Israel is through initiatives like the BDS movement, through mass public opinion, through these kind of grassroots activities. If they marshal enough and get strong enough, these are the things that can have effect. These are the things that change the world, not just in Israel or in America, but in other countries. It's done it many times. These are the only things that can work, and these are the things that people need to do. But going through the official sources, the official agencies, it'll get the Palestinians nowhere, especially since they don't get the kind of support from the government in Ramallah that they deserve. They do not get it.
All right, fair enough. Well, we'll leave it there for now. But of course, as always, we appreciate your insight. That was Mr. Stephen Lendman, who is speaking to us live via Skype from Chicago.